You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
This is Titletown Sound.
Prepare yourself for overwhelming intelligence.
He's going to look like Gronk riding a unicorn carrying a lightsaber.
I know how toast works.
Clay Matthews, squirrel whisperer.
Your squirrel-naming game is not strong.
The turd cheeseburger could come back.
If one of us wants to pee on it, sure.
I'm not bailing you out on that.
I was acting unprofessionally.
I'm just here to ruin things.
Welcome to episode 75 of Titletown Sound, the Forrest Gregg edition of the show. On this edition, we talk about why Alfa Romeos are so great to drive, which of us have had hair implants, and James tells us what spumoni means to him. But first, we're gearing up for the first Packers game of the regular season. Truly, it is the best time of the year. The biggest story going into this game, Jordy Nelson is a full go. And I'm going to do intros before we really launch into that. I just wanted to get everybody really excited. Chris is here. Chris Christofko.
Hello.
You're excited?
I'm bubbling over.
I think you're lying. James Korsmo. James, are you excited?
I am sizzling hot.
Yes, I buy that. Jeremy Vanderlinden, how about you?
I'm very excited.
I believe you as well. Bobo's here also. Hi, I'm very excited. Jordy Nelson is a full go. All signs are pointing toward Jordy being completely healthy, ready to go for the season opener on Sunday. Chris, I'm going to ask you first, is there any reason at all that Packers fans should still be concerned about Jordy Nelson?
Yes. Who knows? Ted could cut him tomorrow. But really, not to be concerned, but to say he's a full go and he's going to be fully effective are two different things. So he doesn't have any restrictions. He's not feeling any pain. There's no swelling. Things seem to be good with that hiccup he had with his other knee. The only concern is he's got to trust his knee now. So we don't know how sharp his cuts are going to be, how much he's going to be confident going into those cuts. So while he's a full go, you don't know that he's going to be fully effective yet. It may take several weeks for him to really, you know, in-game action, for him to really start playing like Jordy of old if he does get back to that point.
James, your thoughts?
I'm only concerned in as much that I have children and I've watched them grow and I've nurtured them and loved them and they get hurt from time to time. And then they go and do the exact same thing that got them hurt to begin with, like, say, jump off the couch. And it scares me because my memory works and I want to make sure they don't get hurt again. So I'm afraid that for the entire first half of the season, every time Jordy cuts, I'm going to lose my mind and end up on the floor in a fetal position. It's going to take me a minute. I'm not worried about him. I'm worried about me. I'm a selfish man. And Jordy is my everything. No, he'll be fine. I'm not too worried. I think that he and Aaron, as long as they're on the same page, they should be good. I want to see him upright and running, and I think he'll be fine.
All right, I think we're all a little bit selfish, and that's why we're here. This is Selfish Anonymous. It's not really Titletown Sound. We're all here to tell us, everybody out there, why we are right and everybody else is wrong. Because that's how it is. Jeremy, are you concerned about Jordy?
Yeah, I'm concerned that it's going to take a while for him to come back, to actually come back. Chris nailed it. It's just because he's a full go doesn't mean he's going to be, you know, able to fully participate or, you know, fully play to the level that we're used to seeing. It could take a little while for Jordy to really get back to being Jordy. We could be completely wrong, and I really prefer that. I hope that we just sound like idiots. I'm concerned that it's going to take a little bit longer for him to really bounce back from that injury.
Interesting you use the word bounce there, because I think of that. A lot of bouncing involved in running, and I think of just legs seem like fragile things to me the older I get. Maybe that's just because I'm getting older and everything gets more fragile, but I'm cautiously optimistic myself. They say Jordy's a full go. I will trust he's a full go until I see otherwise. Because why would the Packers lie to us?
Oh, they would never lie. They would never do anything confusing. They would never use a guy throughout camp as a starter and let him go with the ones and then cut him a week before the season. They would never do strange things that are weird and, you know, make you want to not trust them.
Jeremy, the therapist talked about this.
Oh.
Go to your safe place, Jeremy.
Think of Santa Fe.
I've never been to Santa Fe, so I'm really not sure what to think about. Palm trees? I'm surrounded by those anyways. I think my safe place is going to be this Rolling Rock.
All right, there you go. Angry video game nerd would approve. Our next subject is, it is still hot outside. It's actually hot where I am, too, in the Titletown Sound Studios, where it's about 89 degrees currently, and it sucks. I don't like hot weather. I don't know why we're talking about how it's going to be 94 degrees, apparently, in Jacksonville on Sunday, according to AccuWeather.com. This was a bad idea. I should have nixed this idea before the show, but since we're talking about heat and humidity anyway, James, how do you think that's going to affect the Packers specifically? And do you think the Jaguars will be as affected by the heat?
I think that anytime you're in a spot where it's 94 degrees, 75% humidity, it's going to affect everybody on the field, from the coaches to the referees to the hot dog vendor to the everybody. It's going to suck. However, these guys are professionals, and McCarthy seems to not think it's a big deal. He said so today in his press conference. Personally, I would rather go to a game at Lambeau where it's negative 20 with a 40 under wind chill than sit in a hot stadium where it's like the underside of Satan's jockstrap for 3 hours.
Preach it, James. Preach it.
Amen, sister.
Hallelujah.
But there's going to be a lot of trips to the locker room, I think, for fluids and stuff. I don't think it's going to be a walk in the park by any means.
True enough. Chris, your thoughts?
Well, I know that Jacksonville will do what they like to do in hot weather and wear their road whites and force the Packers to wear green, so it'll be even hotter for them because the home team does get to pick. I know that the Packers today practiced in the Don Hutson Center with the doors closed and the air conditioning off. They reported that it was very hot and very humid in there. So, I don't know. It certainly does have an effect. You know, coming off of summer, it's not like this is in the middle of November and they're not used to heat at this point. They have been practicing, and training camp hasn't been 94 each day, but it's been warm. I think they'll be okay, and McCarthy seems to think that they're better equipped to handle it than they have been in the past, although like the last two games at Miami, they have won under McCarthy. So I don't think it'll be a huge factor, but it's always something to worry about, especially when you're coming off of that first, you know, just coming out of camp, considering that considering that they're not as conditioned as they would be later in the season.
All right. Jeremy, it's always hot where you are. So let's start with how has the heat affected you since you moved to Arizona, and then how much do you think it'll affect the Packers?
Well, since I moved to Arizona, I haven't gone outside. It's currently 95 degrees, and it is 7:59. Oh, it is 8 o'clock at night, and it's 95 degrees. Typically here, the lowest that it gets during the nighttime is in the 80s. Lately, it's been hitting the 70s by the time I wake up, which has been nice. So that's good. I'm kind of wondering if, you know, I mean, not really wondering. I'm expecting to see some cramp issues. But like Chris said, they've been practicing in the heat of the summer. This isn't a surprise. This isn't a weird thing in the middle of November that shouldn't be happening. I think they're going to be fine, but I would expect, you know, to see at least one guy have issues with cramping. It's Florida. It's hot. That's just how it goes.
At this point, I'm just grateful we're not playing the Jacksonville Vikings, because if somehow the Minnesota Vikings moved to Florida and we were playing them in 94 degree weather, they would find a way to pump more heat into the stadium. And nobody laughed. Okay, moving on. Next subject. Let's talk about the important position of inside linebacker, where Apparently, Blake Martinez is going to be starting. Can we call him a rookie phenom? Is it too early for that?
Yes, I'm not sure. Too early.
Okay. I'm screwed. I'm calling him rookie phenom anyway. How about rookie phenom?
Wasn't very strong.
Rookie phenom in the making. How about that? Blake Martinez, going to have the radio in his helmet. Starting in the middle. It's a huge, huge responsibility. Jeremy, I'm going to throw it to you first. Your thoughts on Blake Martinez starting.
I raise your hand if you saw this coming. My hand is up.
My hand's
up. In case anyone's wondering. Babo's hand is up.
I think
everyone's got their hand up. Okay, so, I mean, look at the competition he had going into camp. It's obvious that it wasn't very strong. Sam Barrington coming off his injury and ends up getting cut at the end of preseason. So, I mean, he's competing really against Jake Ryan for the starting spot. Blake Martinez comes across as a smart guy. He went to Stanford. He's going to be one of those guys that, you know, it makes sense to give him the headset. I think that it comes together in his brain well enough. I'm excited to see where his career goes. I think that this move makes sense right now. But, I mean, look at what the Packers have on their 53-man roster for inside linebackers. They only have three of them, and Joe Thomas is one of them. I mean, that's not very encouraging. And, you know, it doesn't say a whole lot that anyone gets to start over Joe Thomas and Jake Ryan. So we'll see how it goes. I'm excited to see him be the captain of the defense basically, and just see how he develops. I like Blake Martinez so far, but it's just still a wait and see.
James, your thoughts on Blake Martinez?
I love Blake Martinez. I think he's going to be a really good to great player for the Packers going forward, and I think that there's no better time for him to pick this up than now, honestly, because as Jeremy said, who else do we have? Joe Thomas, I wouldn't trust to line back my kid's prep league team, and Jake Ryan is great, but he's not that great. So I think Blake Martinez, he's smart. He's Stanford smart, and he's got the athletic ability. He can cover receivers. He knows what's going on. He can read offenses. So I'm stoked to see it. I think it's going to be rough. He's going to have growing pains, but I think at the end of the year, it'll pay off pretty well.
Chris, your thoughts?
All I know is it better work, because they don't have a whole lot of options at inside linebacker. And if there's one position, you know, aside from left guard that concerns me, that's it. So I hope to hell it works, because if it doesn't, you know, we know where we are. We're very limited in choice.
Don't worry. It's totally fine. AJ Hawk is currently available in free agency. So, you know, they could just pick him up and plug him in. And they're ready for the Super Bowl. So, no concerns on my end.
No, they can't. Blake has his number.
Oh.
And that's right. You can't do that. There's no takesy-backsies.
That's in the rules.
You're right. That is in the rules. So really, I don't know what they're going to do now. If they can't bring in AJ Hawk, they're definitely not going to win a Super Bowl. So
what about Frank Zombo? Can we pick him up?
Oh, I'm gonna double check the list real quick, but I don't quite I'm possibly.
Just trying to, I'm just trying to make this an all Frank Zombo year on Tattletown Sound.
Fair enough. Better than an all Omarius Hines year.
get back in your cage.
bad Babo, down. Bad monkey.
All right. We're going to take a break in just a second. I want to throw one extra question at you guys, and Jeremy, I'll throw it to you first. Between Blake Martinez and Kenny Clark, who are we going to be talking more about after this first game?
Because Kenny Clark is on the defensive line, we'd probably be talking more about Blake Martinez, just because those big fat dudes don't really get a lot of love. But I'm excited to see Kenny Clark.
Speak for yourself.
You're right. You're right. I'm a lonely fat man. I'm excited to see Kenny Clark. I think that I think he's poised to have a good rookie season. Honestly, I think that Kenny Clark he's probably going to see a lot of snaps later in the season, a lot more than he is early on. But I mean, I could be totally wrong. He could come out and carry the load as far as snaps at nose tackle. But we'll see how it goes. Just watch closely. Watch Kenny Clark closely and see what you think. I think it's going to be something that is exciting to watch.
All right, James, Martinez, Clark, who's going to have more chatter?
Oh, I think Martinez is going to make more splash plays. You'll hear his name probably called a little bit more just because he's going to probably be around the ball more. But Kenny Clark, if he stays healthy, he's a big, big man. And I think he'll cause a lot of trouble in there. But I honestly, I worry about his health because, you know, he's already hurt and I'm not sure how healthy he is coming back. So, and besides, Blake Martinez, he's my boy. He's my ride and die, as they say, in the places that they say that.
where are those places? Can you explain?
America.
America.
Over in America, Canada, where they use such lingo. Chris, who's getting more chatter, Martinez or Clark?
I'm going to have to say Martinez just because of where he's playing and the complete lack of depth there. And I think you're going to see him a lot more. Like James said, he's going to make some more, I think, noticeable plays, especially early on.
All right, I found the answer. It's okay. A.J. Hawk isn't going to work out, but Casey Matthews is available, and his brother is on the team. Have you ever heard of Clay Matthews? Casey Matthews can play football with his brother, and it will inspire
him. Well,
hold on.
You just made a statement that is kind of questionable. You just said Casey Matthews can play football.
Okay, well, he can't play football for other teams, but he can play for the Packers because his brother is on the team. He'll be inspired. He'll play fiery football, and they'll win the Super Bowl. I have solved all of the Packers' problems in one move. He could probably play left guard.
Was he the one on The Bachelor?
No, that was not Casey Matthews, but...
But wait, he doesn't... Casey Matthews doesn't talk... He doesn't talk to his brother, right? They don't get along.
That's not them. I think that's somebody else. The name doesn't really come to mind. I don't think it's a very popular player. Let's move on.
Yes, let's please go to a break quickly. I have to look up this Clay Matthews guy. I've never heard of him before. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back with some fun stuff, including Twitter questions. So don't go anywhere, okay? Okay.
You're soft, you're sloppy. They calling me Poppy. I'm rolling in bands, riding around in a beat up jalopy.
Hey, dog.
Bros want a cop, but they are just not. I'm up in the club, stacking the ducks, stuck in a lot.
Always happy to promote What's the Score of the Sports News Quiz, where host Baxter Colburn and Game Master Josh Scheibe bring you a weekly sports trivia show revolving around current sports news with some interesting sports personalities from the area to boot, including Scott Wisniewski, Armin Sarian, and Lance Allen. You can check out What's the Score on Spreaker.com, the Sports Podcasting Network, and on iTunes. And by all means, please check out their website at WTSSportsQuiz.com. If you go to their website, you can find out how to have fun on their show as a contestant. I've done that personally. I highly recommend it. You can win some free stuff, and it doesn't cost you a thing to play. Doesn't cost you anything. You can win stuff. Works out as a plus in my book. Again, their website is WTSSportsQuiz.com. And now, back to Titletown Sound. Back on Titletown Sound. Not like we went anywhere, but you know, we're still here. You haven't gotten rid of us yet, and we appreciate that. We're going to be getting into our first round of the year of True False very, very shortly, but first we have Twitter questions, and we've even got Facebook questions this week. We are like lighting up the internet. We're
what
doing
is Facebook?
Twitter stuff and Facebook
next,
stuff.
Next is LinkedIn questions.
Oh gosh.
Heck yeah. We're going to be all about the MySpace question soon. On Twitter, we had @GoPack907, who said, young and inexperienced inside linebacking core, have faith, but questions still remain. We kind of talked about that already. I don't know, Chris, you have anything to add about that?
This is the area that concerns me the most, just because of lack of depth, lack of experience. And we've seen what bad inside linebackers can do to the Packers and make them just a sieve against the run game. That's the one thing I really do fear. You know, I don't care how strong you are as an offense or even as a pass defense, but if you're giving up that kind of, you know, if you're giving up rushing yards like crazy, you allow the other team to control time of possession. You keep the offense off the field, and all of that can lead to some big trouble. So I hope that concern doesn't come to fruition, but it is a worry for me.
All right. James, any thoughts?
I kind of agree with Chris. I mean, if we do have a weak spot on the defense, I think our whole linebacking core, outside of that Clay Matthews dude, is probably one of them. But honestly, I think I have a good feeling. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's all this fresh air I'm getting. But I think we're going to be okay.
Jeremy, your thoughts?
I think the concern is justified, but it's just one of those wait and see things. You know, you never know. The season might end and you're like, holy crap, carrying three inside linebackers is okay. I'm not really convinced of that, but I also can't really say definitively if this is bad. I don't necessarily like the group that they have right now, but it's wait and see till the season starts. That's just the way it'll always be.
All right. Next question comes from Alan Dryell. Hope I'm pronouncing that right. 1972. Why was Maste cut for a guy who had worse numbers last year? Jeremy, I'll throw that one to you first.
I'm still hanging on this idea that the Packers knew something about what is his last name? Shum? Have we figured out how to say that?
Shum, I believe. Shum.
Shum. I believe the Packers knew his camp numbers and they could compare them to Maste. Because I would assume that when Tampa Bay let him go, that the Packers would have given them a call. So you can look at his numbers based on last year. I think the Packers were looking at how he was looking at training camp this year in comparison to Maste. But again, it's wait and see, because he looked good against Kansas City, but it's just preseason, and what's it going to look like in the middle of the season when it's really important that your punter is on? I don't know. Like I said before, I'm really nervous to go into that Campanos era again of punting. So hopefully that doesn't happen.
All right, Chris.
I was perplexed. I think I guess Jeremy has a pretty good explanation, but I didn't think it made much sense either. I was once Mortel was cut. I thought, okay, here comes Maste. He's gonna, you know, he's the veteran. Apparently they weren't worried about salary. They're gonna keep him, and then they cut him for Shum, and if that's the pronunciation we're going with. And I don't know. I have nothing to add because it was perplexing to me as well. I just don't get it. It's not like this guy was, head and shoulders above Maste.
All right, James.
Clearly, it's because he has an 8-pack. Have you seen the guy?
I have not.
Oh, my goodness.
He's ripped. It's ridiculous.
He looks just like me. It is crazy. No, I as Jeremy said, I really think that the Packers knew something. They called Tampa and they had some sort of information that led them to believe that Shum was going to be better, or at least more consistent than Maste. And it's a very small sample size. He looked good for one game, but like Jeremy said, what's it going to be like in December in Lambeau when the ball is like kicking a brick? You know, is he still going to be as good? Who knows?
Maybe right. That James body, that, you know, that's not going to carry you through the snowy,
it's not,
cold winters of Wisconsin.
Look, every winter I put on an extra 15 or 230 pounds to get through.
That's a very wide range.
It depends on how many berries I can forage in the fall.
Oh, that's fair good. That yeah, is good.
Jeremy enjoyed the berry foraging joke.
I very much did. That was good.
I'm going to put that in my list of things that I can bust out at any given time.
We're going to put that on your wiki page there. I really hope Shum's nickname becomes the Brick Kicker. That sounds really good, and that won't be taken out of context at all. My personal answer for why was Mastay cut for a guy who had worse numbers last year is that last year's numbers do not predict future success. They tell us that all the time in fantasy football.
And fantasy football is real life.
Absolutely. Because, I mean, you know, I have fantasy drafts, so it's real. Anyway, at McCready Sam. Wow, I cannot read tonight. That's fantastic. At McCready Sam said, I vote for the new Lambeau food to get discussed. I don't know why I have it here that we're going to talk to James first, because he's in phenomenal shape and would never eat any of the stuff that's at Lambeau, I'm sure. But, James, do you have any insight?
I'm still really sad that they got rid of the horse collar, because that thing was amazing. Amazing. Like 17 pounds of sausage and bread and cheese and a defibrillator.
That was an appetizer, right?
It was. The only really new things I know they have are the bacon-wrapped baked potato, which I guarantee you Ted Thompson wouldn't eat. And they have some sort of like Wisconsin Supper Club there now, where it serves all the traditional Wisconsin Supper Club foods and old fashions and stuff. So I'll just stick to my ballpark fare of filet mignon and bacon wrapped shrimp.
Fantastic, Jeremy. The new Lambeau food. Any thoughts,
James? I thought you only ate berries.
Well,
I have only one thing that's really important in the list of new foods, and that is the bacon-crusted cheese curds. You don't need to eat anything else. That's the only thing you must consume. That and a couple of beverages, and you are good to go.
You know what?
I mean, adding that to any menu is an improvement.
I'm going to disagree and say that cheese curds are nature's perfect food and do not need, dare I say, do not need bacon to make them better. I mean, bacon is great, but cheese curds are possibly the only food I would put above bacon, and I don't know that you need to ruin the purity of the cheese curd. That's it.
Wow. That's strong.
That's a hot take.
Holy cow.
Scorching.
It was scorching hot, but you know what? It actually made me rethink my position, because you're right. Cheese curds are way better than bacon, and I mean way better. Look, bacon is delicious, but if I had to give up one of those two things, it's not going to be cheese curds. I'll tell you that. Especially if they're deep fried.
I think we got a new Twitter poll question here. Do cheese curds need bacon? Or can cheese curds have bacon and be better?
What about berries?
Bacon-wrapped berries? I'd go with the bacon. Okay.
I feel sad.
Moving on to Facebook questions. We're all just thinking about food now and daydreaming. Oh, going into a happy place, thinking about cheese curds, tuck on it. Why didn't I have dinner yet? All right, Facebook questions. We have Thomas. I'm going to apologize in advance for butchering your last name, but Thomas Greenowitz, hopefully. Do Packer fans take Ted Thompson for granted in that we're a contender every year and he has proven methods, yet he gets slammed for not going after free agents and making cuts like Sitton? Chris, I will throw that question to you first.
Absolutely, 100%. Packers fans take him for granted. I can't tell you how many times in the last 2 days I've seen people convinced that Ted Thompson, not questioning him, but convinced that he should retire, that he's a terrible GM. And I'm just wondering if they're watching the same results that I am. You know, talking about how he's wasting Rodgers' career and blah, blah, blah. I mean, when I see that, it boggles my mind. If you pulled football people, Ted Thompson would be in the top five general managers, I'm guessing, of almost all of them. He's very good at what he does. He develops through the draft, something that's necessary, and we do take him for granted as a fan base. But that being said, every fan base almost takes their good general manager, great general manager, great coach, good coach for granted, because everyone expects to win the Super Bowl every other year. And it's just not that easy. It's damn hard. Your goal as a general manager is to put your team in a position that they're competitive every year and contenders every year, or as close to every year as possible. If you've done that, you're a great general manager. you cannot make the team execute on the field. You know, if, you know, I don't want to go back to that Seattle game because it makes me sad every time I do, but if one of 13 plays is executed properly, Ted Thompson is a genius. And Ted Thompson, you know, is one of the greatest general managers in the history of the game. But because of that, the lack of execution, you know, we say, oh, he's wasting Rodgers' career, only one Super Bowl. You know, that's where fans get short-sighted.
All right. James, your thoughts?
I couldn't agree with Chris more. I have very strong opinions on this. Watching social media over the last couple days has just been mind-numbingly, it just makes my heart hurt and my head hurt and my blood hurt too, I guess, somehow. Everything hurts. Everybody hurts, REM. But people act like every decision that Ted Thompson has made has led to nothing but failure for the last 10 years. And I, going back to the last Super Bowl in 2010, look at every single year since then. We are literally less than 5 or 6 plays per year away from Super Bowls. Every single year. Look at last year. We almost made it to the NFC Conference Finals with Jeff Janis and Jared Aberderis and James Jones as our starting wide receivers. Like, I don't know.
An old guy, a China doll, and a guy who can't run routes.
Right. I don't know what else the man needs to do. You can't win a Super Bowl every year. The Patriots went 9 years between Super Bowls. The Giants went 5 or 6. It doesn't happen every year anymore. It's not the 80s anymore. There's never going to be another Buffalo Bills going to 4 consecutive Super Bowls. It's just not going to happen. And the gotta have it now mentality of a lot of fans, it's aggravating to me. Let it go. Ted Thompson is at least in the top 5, if not the top 3 GMs in the whole league. And when he retires, he will be probably in the top 10 of all time. And that's just how it is. And if you don't like it, suck an egg.
Nicely put. Jeremy, your thoughts?
All right, I'm going to channel my Bill Johnson here. Let me tell you what's wrong with today's NFL fans. It is Madden football and fantasy football. Look, just because you can trade for J.J. Watt and Luke Kuechly in the same season in Madden doesn't mean Ted Thompson can do the same thing. It doesn't really work that way. It's not really possible. Ted Thompson does a fantastic job. He is one of the best GMs in the NFL, and honestly, I don't really know what fans are complaining about. The Packers are in contention to win a Super Bowl every freaking year. Every year. What more can you ask for? Unless they're winning a Super Bowl every year, fans are not going to be happy, which is ridiculous. So I just don't get it. I don't agree with those fans who hate on Ted Thompson in any way. Yes, maybe he's looking a little too far ahead sometimes. Maybe he misses some opportunities in free agency. But for example, look at what happened in free agency this year. Everybody wanted Ladarius Green. Everybody wanted him.
True.
Okay, they wanted a tight end upgrade. Ted Thompson ignored him. He went to Pittsburgh for a good deal, a cheap deal, right? He's not even going to start in the beginning of the season. I believe he's on their PUP list. He's got injury issues. He's got headaches that he's dealing with. And Ted Thompson went ahead and signed Jared Cook, which now is starting to look like the better signing.
Fantastic.
Look, you can hate on Ted Thompson all you want, but if you want to go ahead and be a Browns fan, if you want to go and start cheering for the Chicago Bears, you go right on ahead, because those are teams that wish with everything within themselves that they could find their own Ted Thompson. It is the silliest notion of anything Packer fans put out there that Ted Thompson should retire and that he's not a good GM.
Oh, it's definitely not the silliest.
Bring it. What is sillier? I need to hear this.
Did you see any of the talk about Brett Hundley taking over for Rodgers when he was having a good camp? Jeff Janis being the number 2. There are countless things sillier, though I will agree it ranks up there.
Hey, you know what? I play Madden, and Jeff Janis is really fast. I can throw him the football over them mountains, and he would catch it. So if he's good in Madden, he's got to be good in real life, because that's how the real world works. So Packer fans, I love you, but you got to chill out on Ted Thompson. You're just wrong.
Fair enough. We got several Facebook questions, actually, from Charles Wiskochel III. Sorry if I'm butchering your name as well. Feel free to send pronunciations. Those help me out. So I'm going to go rapid-fire style. Jeremy, to Chris, to James for all of these. So feel free to jump right in there. So Jeremy, first question, what can we expect from Jordy the first few games?
From Jordy the first few games, I mean, I think Jordy's going to have, I mean, it's probably going to be slow going for a little while for Jordy. I would expect a lot of passes to Jared Cook. I think the ball's going to get spread out, and Jordy's going to be a little more of a decoy early on in the season. So it'll be interesting to see if I'm right there, but I do think that's the direction that's going to go.
All right. Chris, your thoughts?
I think we're going to see him adjusting to and trying to trust his knee, and he'll get better as the first several weeks go on.
James?
It's going to go one of two ways. Either we're going to get a lot of screens and short dunks over the middle, or the first pass is going to be a 70-yard bomb, either just to get it out of the way. And I think once he gets that first big catch with some contact, I think he'll be almost right where he was in 2015.
All right, next question. Does Lacy look like a legit top five back again? Jeremy, yes or no?
I wish that he would have lost a little more weight in the offseason. I do think that he's ramping up for a good year. Top five back? I hope so. I guess we'll see. We'll just see. I think Eddie's still got a ways to go as far as getting his body into shape. It's going to go into next season that he's going to be doing that. Who knows if he'll still be a Packer. For now, I think that he's poised to have a good year. I don't know that he's going to be top five in the league.
Let's just keep him away from the Lambeau Field snack bar. Chris, you're next.
Top five, I don't know, but he's going to be better than he was last year. I just wonder if he's going to be so good that he prices himself out of Green Bay. We know that Ted doesn't like to spend on running backs. I think that's a very real possibility.
James.
Top five, no. But here's the beautiful thing. The Packers don't need him to be a top five running back. As long as he's somewhere from 8 to 10, they're fine. They just need somebody to take the pressure off. I think he'll be better than he was last year, and that's all we need.
All right.
Roll Tide.
Well put. Does Peppers have another year in him? Jeremy.
I mean, yeah, I think he's got another year, but I think Julius Peppers, he can flip the off switch and on switch back and forth whenever he wants to. I think there are games where he takes it a little more easy than other games. I'm personally hoping to see Dayton Jones get more snaps, and that's because he is our future Julius Peppers. He's going to take that spot when Peppers retires. Will Peppers have another good year? I don't think he puts up any numbers near what he did the first year. But, you know, we'll see. We'll just see.
All right, Chris.
So I'm going to be honest and say I forget what the question was.
Does Peppers have another year in him?
He has another year. Is it going to be a great year? I don't know. I think they need to use him very sparingly. And I think that he can contribute. But I think Jeremy's right. I think Dayton Jones is going to have a much better year. He was really coming on in camp. And I think he's kind of finally going to prove his worth. So I think he has another year of spot contributions, but he's not going to be, you know, anywhere near what we saw a couple years ago.
James, one more year out of Peppers?
Yeah, but it's going to be not nearly what his previous years have been, even with us. So as Jeremy said, it's Dayton's time, and I can't wait to see him get out there and see what he can do. He looked so good in the preseason. I hope it carries over.
I would not be shocked if we had one or two big Julius Peppers games yet, so that doesn't make for a full
game. I think that happens. Yeah, I think we have one or two big Julius Peppers games. The other thing you have to remember is that Nick Perry was coming on late last season.
True.
And so they have two big body guys that kind of fit that mold that Julius Peppers is playing in, and they're going to rotate those guys in. I do think that we get one or two more games from him that are really good. I just don't know that he carries through the whole season playing at that level.
All right. Last question from Charles. Does Matthews bounce back into a havoc maker on the outside, or have we seen his best? Jeremy, which one?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the name. Who's bouncing back?
Matthews. This Clay Matthews guy.
The Clay Matthews guy.
Plays linebacker, apparently.
I'm tempted to say we've seen his best, but I wouldn't bet against Clay Matthews. He's still a freak. Physically, he's one of the most fit people I've ever seen with my eyeballs. So, yeah, I'm not going to bet against Clay Matthews, but I'm not going to necessarily say he's going to be back to the peak of what he's ever been. I'm very wait and see, especially as the season is starting. I like to kind of take this wait and see approach. I think Clay Matthews can still play at a very high level, and that's where I'll leave it.
All right, Chris.
Clay Matthews has his best year. He's back with Al Jazeera off his back. He'll be more productive than ever. Book it.
All right, James.
I think that he's going to get right back to where he was before he went to the inside, absolutely. I think he's going to have a great year. Pro Bowl, everything else. He, as long as he stays healthy, obviously, because Lord knows his hamstrings are made out of, you know, weaker muscles than most. I don't know. They're not very strong.
You're really looking for a metaphor there that just didn't work out, huh?
My brain shut down like Julius Peppers halfway into that metaphor.
I just quit. I give up. It's two things. It's if he stays healthy, and how soon do they sign his brother? That's what matters most. As long as Casey Matthews is on this roster, the Packers will win the Super Bowl.
Fantastic.
I hate you.
And that's how we end Twitter and Facebook questions. Time to go into True False. And Jeremy's going to have a really awesome sound drop here.
I am?
Yeah, of course you are. There it is. Woo! That was amazing. The following five questions are related to the upcoming game against Jacksonville. Just so you don't hear a question and be like, for the whole season, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. Because at least one of our listeners talks like that. I met one. He talked exactly like that.
And he hates Ted Thompson.
Hates Ted Thompson. Hates everything Packers.
Loves bacon, though.
Doesn't know who Clay Matthews is. All right, are you guys ready for True False?
Woo!
All right. True.
All right, I don't want to, you know, be accused of rushing you here. True or false, number one, Aaron Rodgers passes for at least 254 yards. Rodgers averaged 238.8 passing yards per game last year, 30th in the league. Jacksonville allowed an average of 268.2 yards per game last year, coincidentally, also 30th best in the league. So the true false, once again, Aaron Rodgers passes for at least 254 yards. Jeremy, you get to answer first.
I'm going to say true because I want to, and that's my only real good reasoning, because Jacksonville has improved their pass rush this offseason, and I expect that could make it difficult to do what Aaron Rodgers wants to do, especially when you're missing your left guard. So, I'll stick with true just because he's Aaron Rodgers and why the heck not?
All right. Chris, true or false?
Well, with all of the continuity on the offensive line, you know what? I'm going to say true anyway. I just think Rodgers had a bad year last year. He's got Jordy back. Pretty sure Jordy can get that on one play. I'm not sure how, but he can do it.
I believe in him. James, true or false?
100% book it. It's going to happen. I have nothing but the highest hopes of Aaron Rodgers this year. And as last I checked, they're still going to play with a left guard. They're not going to go without. It may not be the Duck Dynasty guy, but they're going to have one. So as long as he stays upright for any portion of the game, I think Aaron has a shot, and I like it.
So you're going with true?
True.
Yes, I am also going to go with true, so we all agree on the first true-false of the year. Good for us. Last time that's going to happen all year. True, false, number two. As a team, Jacksonville rushes for over 100 yards. Jacksonville averaged 92.1 rush yards per game last year, 27th best in the league. There are still 32 teams in the league as a frame of reference, in case you weren't sure. Green Bay allowed an average of 119.1 rushing yards per game last year. That was 21st best in the league. Jacksonville has TJ Yeldon and Denard Robinson back from last year, and they added Chris Ivory. He's a pretty sturdy back. Maybe sturdy's not the best word, but he's a pretty good back. Certainly effective when he's healthy. So the question once again, true or false, as a team, Jacksonville rushes for over 100 yards. Jeremy, true or false?
I'm going to say true. It's the Packers' first week working with Kenny Clark in the middle and Blake Martinez and Jake Ryan taking those starting reps at inside linebacker. So true. They not that they go too far over 100, but they are going to pass that mark.
All right, Chris.
I'm going to also say true. I hate to agree with Jeremy twice, but the one question mark I have is an inside linebacker, and that's where they're going to hit him up. So they will go over 100 yards.
All right. James.
I'm going to go ahead and be the first one to disagree this season and say false.
Good for you.
Primarily because I like to make things difficult. But secondarily, I think it's going to happen. I think Kenny Clark's going to create havoc in the inside, and Mike Daniels is going to shut everything else down, and Blake Martinez and the rest of the linebackers will be there to clean it up. I have a good feeling about it. Mark it down.
All right. This is why you and I get along so well, James, because I, too, like to be difficult. I, too, am going to say false. So there you go. True, false, number three. Jordy Nelson scores a receiving touchdown. Jordy, of course, did not play in the 2015 season or in this year's preseason. Back in 2014, he had 13 touchdowns over 16 games. 49 touchdown receptions overall in 105 games played in his career. So it's not quite a touchdown every other game. But it's his first game back. He's going to be excited. His teammates are going to be excited. And they may, you know, maybe they'll try to force the ball to him once in a while. Who knows? So, Jeremy, Jordy Nelson scores a receiving touchdown, true or false?
I'm going to say true because one of two things is going to happen. You said it yourself, some forcing of the football to Jordy Nelson. One of two things will happen with that. Either he scores a touchdown or Aaron Rodgers throws a poor interception in the red zone. I think when they get down there, Rodgers is going to want to throw Nelson the ball, and he's going to do it. So I don't see why he wouldn't score.
All right, Chris.
Let's say false. Jordy will have a good day, but for some reason won't catch a touchdown pass, and it allows me to disagree with Jeremy.
Good enough for me. James.
I have to say false, too. I'm going with Cook and Adams. They're going to get our touchdown catches.
All right. I am going to say false as well, although I'm really, really tempted to. I was kind of pumping a pull at your heartstrings a little bit with this question, so I see it worked on one of you. Oddly enough, I didn't think Jeremy had a heart, but, you know, whatever. True or false, number four, Jared Cook pulls in more receptions than Richard Rodgers. Rodgers had 58 receptions in all of 2015, in this very Packers offense. Cook had 39 receptions last year in St. Louis, which is notorious for not being Green Bay's offense. So, take so Jeremy.
That's on their game day programs.
That's true. Jared Cook pulls in more receptions against Jacksonville than Richard Rodgers. True or false?
I'll say true. I think Rodgers is hungry for that big tight end that can run down the seam. And I think Jared Cook is that guy. He's going to get plenty of shots. I don't care what the depth chart says. It can say Richard Rodgers is the starter. But I think that Jared Cook is going to carry the load as far as receiving the ball at tight end this year. So I'll go true.
All right, Chris.
I'm going to say true. The truest Jared Cook has more receptions, correct?
Correct. Cook pulls in more receptions.
So I will say true. Like Jeremy says, the depth chart is somewhat meaningless. And I also think Cook, when he's on the field, is going to be a bigger target for Rodgers. He seemed in training camp in the preseason to really like to go to him when he had the opportunities. And I think it's going to happen. I think you're going to see Cook emerging as the de facto starter, even if he doesn't line up with the with the starters at the beginning of the game.
All right. James.
Absolutely true. I have a feeling that by the middle of the season, Richard Rodgers will be kind of the forgotten man. He'll come in every once in a while and maybe catch a ball here and there, but I think it's Cook's show now. And I'm okay with that.
All right. Well, I said we can't all agree, so I'm going to say false just to be difficult and say that they have an equal number of receptions. Although Cook might have like 3 times as many yards, would not surprise me at all because, of course, I am firmly planted in the front row of the Jared Cook bandwagon, which is setting sail any day now. Or something like that. True, false, number 5. Jacksonville's defense records at least 3 sacks. Jacksonville tied for 20th in the league last year with 36 sacks on the season. Packers, of course, are replacing Josh Sitton at left guard with Lane Taylor, which I feel like that's like switching Darren's on Bewitched. It's like, it could work, but it's just not the same, you know? So, Jeremy.
As a quality, 50-year-old TV reference there, Bobo?
Absolutely.
We're going to keep up with the current demographic.
Hey, I'm all about the kids and their crunkness these days. True, false, number 5.
We used to have 3 millennials who listened to this show. They're gone.
They nodded off about 10 minutes ago. Don't worry about it. So, Jeremy, Jacksonville's defense recording at least 3 sacks. True or false?
False. 3 is just too many. If you said 2, I would have a challenge. Like, I would have a hard time here picking, but I think 3 is just too many. Even with Lane Taylor playing at guard, I think he'll be okay.
All right, Chris. So.
Yeah, I agree. The 3 is just slightly too much. If you had said 2, I would have said true, but I'm going to say false. I just basically stole Jeremy's answer, which is...
Fair enough. James.
I really want to be difficult on this one. I do, but I'm sitting here looking at the Jaguars defensive depth chart, and there's nobody on here that really makes me feel like...
There's literally no one on here. It's blank.
It's... this is a Arby's menu. Shoot. It's going to be beefy McCheddar. No, false. I don't think it's going to happen. I think we're going to... Rodgers twice, but not 3 times.
Hey, don't sleep on Dante Fowler, all right? We'll see how that goes, but I think 3 is too many, but I do think they will get to the quarterback.
Why would I sleep on Dante Fowler? He's lumpy.
That's true. It would probably be very uncomfortable.
A lot of body heat.
Just carve them open like a camel and sleep in the innards.
Especially after you ate Arby's, there would be so much body heat.
A lot of body heat. Just
a lot of bloating, more like. But anyway, Arby's, by the way, fine product. Feel free to advertise on this show.
Just went to a dark place.
That's why I was looking at the menu.
Yes. I will say true because I have to be difficult. And I mean, we've talked about how Jacksonville does concern us a little bit. Kind of, and I think it's kind of stemming from the idea that we don't know exactly what Jacksonville's going to be this year. They're probably going to have something new about them, and they'll probably throw some things at Green Bay that they're not expecting, and even if they get a sack or two kind of, you know, later in the game when it doesn't matter as much, I don't know. So I'm going to say true. Time for the next true-false, which I have here somewhere. And that was 5, wasn't it? That was 5.
Wow. The new thing that the Jacksonville Jaguars will be doing this year is that everyone is required to have a mustache, just like their owner, Shahid Khan. How do you say his first name?
That's right, Shahid.
I did it. Fantastic.
Good job. All right. So I do have
for Blake Bortles' new mustache. That will be the new thing for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
That sounds good to me. I do have a season long true false that I have to throw in here as potentially sort of a tiebreaker. When we get to the end of the year, some of us might be tied up. Well, okay, I won't be tied with anybody because I'll be in fourth place by myself, but whatever. So I got a little question related to the punter. Jacob Schum, is that what we said his last name is?
Yes.
Correct pronunciation on last name. So Jacob Schum finishes with more punts inside the 20 and has a better net average than Tim Maste did in 2015. Schum finishes with more punts inside the 20 this year and a better net average this year than Maste had in 2015. I'll give you the numbers from last year quick. Maste had 18 punts inside the 20. He had 81 punts total. Schum had 15 punts inside the 20 on only 56 punts. Their net averages last year, Maste 40.2, Schum 38. So once again, the brick kicker, Jacob Schum, finishes with more punts inside the 20 and a better net average this year than Maste had in 2015. Jeremy, did you follow all that, and true or false?
Yes, I did follow that. I'm going to say true just to be extra positive, because why not? Who doesn't love some good positivity?
Fair enough. Chris, you hate positivity.
In order for Schum to have a better net average than Tim Maste from last year, he would have to break the Packers' record for net average for a punter, which Maste set last year, which still is mind-boggling to me. So, no, the answer is false.
You know what, Chris? Screw you and your logic.
Well, that escalated quickly.
We don't take kindly to logic around here.
That was really aggressive.
That escalated quickly.
I'm just really angry that I didn't think of that when I chose my answer.
Jeremy is out of beer, and we can tell. James, yes, your turn.
I'm scared to answer now. I don't want to.
You better say true.
I don't want to make him mad. You know what? I'm optimistic, and I like him, and we share a body image, so I'm going to go ahead and say true.
Good for you. I marked true before I got Jeremy's answer because I have faith in our new punter. So there you go. Time to move on now to the... we don't have a good name for this yet. It's not to say we don't have a name for this segment. I'm just saying we don't have a good name for this segment. It's us competing against the spread, or picking against the spread, if you will. Bovada.lv, is that right, Chris?
That's right.
That is the website we're looking at to get the spread. Tuesday's line on the Packers-Jaguars game is Green Bay -6. So basically, it's I don't gamble at all. I only bet jelly beans, and it's on the level. So Chris, can you give us a quick sort of explanation for anybody who doesn't know what betting against the spread means?
Sure. So instead of just picking games straight up, where we all feel obligated to pick the Packers every week, we're going to pick against the spread. So the Packers are -6, meaning they are laying 6 points to the Jaguars. They have to win by 6 to cover. So if you pick the Packers, that means you believe they will win by 6 or more. Actually, you believe they will win by more than 6. If you pick the Jaguars, you believe that the game will be closer than that. And if they hit 6 exactly, it's a push. Nobody wins, and everyone's unhappy.
Sounds good. Sort of like the roulette when it hits 0, right?
Something like that.
All right, so Green Bay -6. Are you picking Green Bay or Jacksonville, Chris?
I'm actually going to take Jacksonville. 6 is a relatively large number, especially on the road. I don't think the Packers will have a tough time with it, but like I said, 6 is a big number, and I don't think they're going to cover.
All right. James, what do you think?
I think the Packers will cover. I think at least... I'm going to go with 7.
All right. One vote each way. Jeremy?
I'm going to say they cover and then some.
Good for you. I, too, am going to pick the Packers. I'm going to say the Packers win by 6.5 points. Wow. Also, you can check out, if you want to play along, the spread challenge is on Twitter, at TitletownSound. And that
I don't know if spread challenge is what we want to go with there.
I told you we had a name for it, and it's not a
Nobody
good one.
Google that. None of you Google that phrase.
Yes, don't Google.
Don't do it.
That's right. If you Google Titletown Sound Spread Challenge, you will find
pictures of Bobo. You'll find pictures of Arby's food. And,
well. Spumoni. Spumoni.
Spumoni, please. Yes.
Oh, God, I'm losing it.
I don't think you ever had it, but anyway. So, Ken, if you want to play this game, which you probably don't now, but yeah, I don't know what kind of a listener you are, at Titletown Sound on Twitter. It is the pinned tweet at the moment. And we had a good number of responses already, as I recall. So join in the fun. Or, well, there's probably a safer way to put that, but I'm too tired to think of it. On that note, Jeremy, I think we're about done. I sincerely hope we're almost done.
Yeah, that's it. We did it. We're at the end of the podcast. So that is it for Titletown Sound, episode 75. Thank you for listening to the show. We will bring you guys a show every week. We might bring you two shows every week. Heck, we might podcast every single day.
Nope, we will not do that.
Yeah, we're not going to do that. But we will be podcasting once a week throughout the season. And actually, the goal is from now on. So you'll be hearing a lot more of us. So thank you for listening to episode 75. You can follow us all on Twitter. I am at TTSO underscore Jeremy. Chris is at TTSO underscore Chris. James is at JK sub 20. Bobo is at That's Our Bobo. You can follow the website at Titletown Sound. You can actually find us on iTunes, and actually, if you would leave us a review, we would greatly appreciate it. And, yeah, Bobo.
Yes.
Have anything to say to end the show?
I have a lot of things I want to say at the end of the show here, but I'm not going to say any of them except for don't forget to pet your cat, and no, that's not a euphemism.
All right, James, do you have anything to say to end the show?
I want to see Spumoni trending on Twitter immediately.
I want that too. Chris, do you have anything to say to end the show?
James?
Good night, sweet, one-armed Prince Janice.
Oh, gosh. Jeff Janice will be found in the end zone in Jacksonville in the pool in the corner of the third level of the stadium signing autographs. You heard that here first. Thank you for listening to Titletown Sound. We appreciate you coming along. Check out the website. We will have plenty of writing for you to read this week. Thanks for listening. We'll bring you another show next week. Sometimes you wanna go where everybody knows your name.